The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday, we release these special episodes that we're calling Classic Risk Singles. Each of these episodes features just one story from our earlier years. If you're new to Risk, you should know that the podcast can be very uncensored. This week, a story that Reggie Watts first shared on the podcast in August of 2012. Here he is now. It's Reggie Watts with a story we call Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again.
All right. This is a story about a young man and some drugs. The young man is me. Not anymore, but I used to be a very young man, incredibly young. very young. One of the youngest men you've ever met. But I don't know how many of you guys are kind of extroverted, but you find that there are some things that you're really uptight about, and some hidden things that you don't find out until certain kind of crucial moments. But in this particular situation, I would have been about 27, I think, 27. I was working in a health food store called Mother Nature's in Seattle, Washington, on the base of Queen Anne Hill. And I had just quit a disco cover band that was making shitloads of money. I mean, like, we were making, I mean, at the time, as a young man, any amount of money is a lot of money, but enough to buy my friends Chianti once in a while. So I was rolling the Chianti, but at a certain point, I was like, I was with a girlfriend, she was Australian, and she was telling me, you should really quit this band. And I was like, I don't know, man. I mean, it's making a lot of money, but it's definitely not creative. I know every single disco song, I think, now. So it took me a while before I even enjoyed them again. But I quit that band, and it was kind of a heavy breakup with the band because, you know, I'd been with it since it started. Like, I think I was in it for about 5 years or something like that. And so I quit that, and I went from making money to zero money. So I had to get a job, and I got lucky to get this job at Mother Nature's. Totally like ma and pa run, little joint, and no competition at the time. And I just learned about vitamins, and I stocked things, and I priced things, and I made sandwiches and smoothies with spirulina, and made kombucha from scratch. And, learned about, biodynamics and, St. John's wort, working as an antidepressant. And we had representatives coming in from vitamin companies, and it was an intense time. And I broke up with the girl from Australia. She went to Japan, and she said she was dancing. And she would send these pictures of her in these kind of weird outfits where she was almost topless. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, kind of like Vegas thing. And then she writes me a letter saying that she'd been seeing someone. And in a weird way, I was kind of relieved. I was like, okay, great, because I wasn't sure about that relationship anyways, so that was an easy out. And it was still emotional, but, you know, I was living in the house that we were living in together by myself while she was in Japan. So we'd broken up. So I was single, and I was working at the health food store. And one day, this girl walks in, really super cute girl. At the time, she probably would have been 21 or something like that. And she walks in. She's a friend of one of the people working there. And she's talking, and I'm kind of joking around with her. And I don't know, we're hitting it off. And she's like, hey, you want to come by where I work, you know, sometime this week? And I'm like, sure. So I go to this health food restaurant that's run by this old hippie dude in a weird part of Seattle. And I go to visit her, and she's closing shop, and she gets me a couple, you know, their specialties or whatever, like yeast soup or something like that. Just great. So, you know, we sit down at a table, and we're chatting or whatever, and she's like, I've got some mushrooms. I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. I didn't really know her, so it was kind of a weird thing. I always associate mushrooms, you know, with something you do with, like, close friends. So I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds cool. She's like, we'll have to stop by my house that I'm living at. I'm like, great. So she gets done with work, says goodbye to this dude. We get into her car, and we drive to this weird house in another part of Seattle again that I can't even remember where it is anymore. It's just a very strange place. And it was this big-ass house on this property, and he went in as total hippie commune house. Like, hardly any furniture, just a lot of blankets and pillows everywhere, you know? Like, cubby holes with strange herbs hanging down in bushels from the ceiling, and dream catchers, and just communal kitchen, you know? We kind of hung out a little bit there. We got the mushrooms, and we decided to go to the Arboretum, which is this beautiful park in Seattle, if you ever get a chance to go to it. It's a man-made botanical extravaganza. And we decided to go there. It's starting to get dark, and the park is closed. So we sneak in. We park our car on the edge of the park, and we walk in. She's got these mushrooms, and we eat the mushrooms with some M&Ms. It's always the best way to do it. Just take a handful of M&Ms and a handful of mushrooms. You'll never taste it. And so we did the mushrooms, and I was a little nervous because I didn't really know her, and that's always an odd feeling when you're doing something like really heavy and psychedelic and psychotropic with someone you don't know that well. It could not necessarily be a good thing. So we start to trip a little bit, and I'm like feeling okay, a little estranged from her, but, you know, okay. We find this tree. It's the weirdest tree. It's like a pine, looks like a pine tree. It is a pine tree. I've just decided. No, but it's like some kind of a pine tree. And the branches started about here. So it formed this nice little like tent, like a little tree cave, like a, you know. So we're like under this tree's skirt, you know, just kind of up against, you know, the trunk of the tree. And I started tripping out a little bit more. And then, for some reason, I just ended up laying my head in her lap, and she was sitting against the tree. And I kind of just fell into a trip. And it started with her breathing and my breathing, and eventually that turned into this weird journey into this hyper-feminine world. And it's really hard to explain, but it's like... It was like I was like temporarily allowed to kind of feel a little bit of the feminine energy, and my head was right against her stomach, so it was kind of like against her womb, and it was heavy, man. Like, I just went on this crazy journey, and I was like, started to get really emotional and was crying a little bit, but she was totally cool about it. She was like just kind of handling it, and she was tripping too, so we were kind of co-tripping, and I was somewhere lost in some strange, beautiful, energetic female realm, and I stayed there for about maybe a little over an hour, and I got up slowly and kind of realized vaguely where I was, and we just looked at each other, and we just like started crying. So in that moment, it just felt very honest and clean. Like, every breath I took just felt like I was getting nutrition from the air. And us being in each other's presence was kind of letting me know that it's possible to connect with people even though you may not know them. This particular trip kind of ended with us roaming around the forest, doing some weird shit. hiding from each other, you know, running around giggling. And then eventually trying to find her car. And but the best part about that whole trip was we became better friends and kind of quasi-dated, but then like only really two dates and just became really good friends. And maybe a year and a half later, I went over to her house and we tripped on mushrooms again. And it was just me and her in this house that she lived in Capitol Hill. And I had have a problem. I mean, sure, a lot of us have a problem with going to the bathroom, especially number two, when you know that people can hear you or anything like that. You just have I just have this problem. I like to be in a very quiet, private space, you know, and, you know, and meditate. But so I had to go to the bathroom, and I had to go pretty badly quickly because mushrooms sometimes can make you slightly incontinent, and also out of continent as well. But so I just remember going like, I have to go to the bathroom, and I go to the bathroom, and I remember I just get deathly afraid because I remember as I'm approaching the bathroom door, there is no door. It's just a bunch of like beads. Because, again, she's, like, living in a commune hippie thing. And I'm totally terrified. Because her roommate is supposed to come home at some point during the evening. But he's, you know, he's a kind dude, I guess. I don't know. That's how he was described to me. And I was like, I can't do this. And she took the time. This is so stupid. It was such a huge thing. She took the time to actually just... She just made it sound like, it's no big deal. Just do this. We all do this. It's fine. I'm not going to fucking judge you about just go to the bathroom. Whatever. It's what you're supposed to be doing. It's a healthy thing. And I was like, no, I can't. No one must know that I do this. I am ashamed. And she just kind of, she was like, listen, I'm going to go out in the yard. It's going to be fine. And it took me a while. It took me probably about like half an hour of being like thinking that any noise was like her roommate coming in or her coming back into the house to check on me. But finally, at one point, I just hear her scream in the background. She's like, just do it. And then I went for it, and I kind of just, I don't know, something happened. I did it, it was fine, I felt kind of weird, but then I was like, no, it's cool. You know, finished up, and then, and I came out, and I felt like a changed person. Like, I felt like I had, like, walked across coals or something like that. And everything changed. I was like, thank you. I felt incredibly indebted to her. It's crazy. It was, like, the second time that she kind of just allowed me. She fully accepted me and allowed me to be who I was. And that's a huge feeling because you just don't know how much you aren't being yourself until certain moments happen. So that's it. Thanks.
That's all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.